All right, welcome back, everybody. We are here for another recap of the Challenge War of the Worlds. It has been not the most fun week of reality TV, to say the least, but luckily we still have some fun shows. I've always said that the Challenge has been my favorite of the three shows lately. I guess that's not always have said, but I've been saying that lately, and I think that stood true this week. It was a lot more fun to watch the stuff going down over on the Challenge than it was in some other areas. But either way, we are here to break down everything from the Challenge, and of course, I'm here with my usual co-host, Brian Scally. How you doing, Scally?
I am good. Yeah, like you said, tough watches for some other shows this week. Definitely put off the Challenge till the next day, but glad I came in with a fresh head because I actually really did like this episode quite a bit.
Yeah, I feel like my takes on the season have been pretty consistent in terms of I'm not loving it as much as I have some of the past few seasons, and I feel like I've accepted of just what it is at this point, just kind of waiting for it to end and see what the results are kind of thing. But I think every episode has still been kind of bringing just the personalities that are on the show. They've been bringing stuff just in terms of like drama, entertainment, you know, not all of it has, like, I've noticed that I've been shifting in some opinions of certain cast members, which I'm sure we've talked about and we'll get into again today. But, you know, even on a season that I'm not enjoying as much as others, there's still fun things to talk about.
Yeah, I'm not putting this up. Like, last season was definitely a tier of its own in terms of recent seasons for me. But, I mean, if you're comparing this to especially, like, the pre-Dirty 30 seasons, it's right in there for me-ish with, you know, I'm not going to say Battle of the Bloodlines because that's probably worse. But some of those other seasons in that area, I think it, you know, stacks up decently.
Yeah, and just, I don't even know, maybe just having certain cast members not be around late into the game is frustrating me. I've gotten so used to having Devon around, and I know people are probably so sick of hearing me talk about her, but just like, it's a noticeable absence, to have, you know, somebody that you can root for so much. And like this deep into the game, I'm just looking around and I'm like, I don't know, you know, of course I have, you know, Ashley's there and I want her to do well, but she's also been super quiet lately. Not a whole lot going on over there. So I don't know. There's just, I need to, I guess, look ahead to 35 and just kind of hope that some of my favorites on there are gonna have a better season. And just, I don't know, I feel like that, I mean, that's always the case, that a season kind of depends on if you have people left to root for or not, and this season is just not really that for me. Even though there are people that I like, it's just I'm not enjoying them on the season as much.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, whether it be The Challenge, any other reality show, or scripted, I'm always thinking, God, I wish Devon was here. So yes. it's always a problem, but like you said, we have Ashley definitely underutilized. It's the type of thing right now where, am I loving that many people? No, I'm really not. But I'm always rooting for chaos, and I feel like this episode did bring that at least. So as long as, especially when we're in this, you know, slog of the Alliance is definitely going to do well. So at least seeing an unexpected turn was fun for this week.
Who would you say, like, looking at the cast at this point, that, like, of the people left, who would you say are your top two people that you're rooting for?
Ooh, I think I'm going Ashley and Cam at this point. Part of me wants to say Leroy just for the number of years and that he hasn't won a challenge. But I think overall, if you're asking who on like a season to season, week to week basis is, you know, bringing me more enjoyment, I'm going Cam.
I think, again, we'll get to this later because Cam was pretty much the person that I was talking about in terms of I'm not really enjoying this person a whole lot this season. You know, I've been as high on Cam as everybody else has been for the past couple seasons. And I said very specifically coming into this season, I need to see more from her. And I think, you know, I think I can't put the blame of the season's format onto the players because a lot of my issues with Cam is just the fact that she's just very self-righteous. She's just very like she feels like she owns this game. And I mean, her Alliance does kind of own this game at this point. They're getting everything they want and they have all season and they're going to continue all the way to the end because that's where the numbers lie. But just, you know, it goes without saying, it's a lot better to see some characters in an underdog spot than it is to see them in power, because some of them don't handle the power very well. And just seeing how Cam was talking to Leroy and talking about Nani and talking about all this stuff in this episode, it just continues, or it's furthering my feelings of not loving her as much as I used to.
That's fair. It's funny because I actually feel like earlier in the season, I think I know me, but definitely I feel like you also were actually enjoying Cam more so than the past couple seasons because I just don't know, she has like a little more fun. I definitely understand this episode was not my favorite Cam episode, and that's why I was really oscillating between her or Leroy. But again, overall, I think that I'm sticking with Cam. But if we really have this turn where it's just not as fun to watch, I could see that changing for.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll save that for when we talk about all that stuff later on. But just to answer the question for myself, I would obviously also go with Ashley. And I think at this point, my number two has to be Tori. I've always been high on Tori. And a lot of people have talked about if she's overrated, if she's underrated, whatever it may be. But she's proved herself twice this season with these eliminations. She keeps coming back. She's been fired up, and maybe that's exactly what I just said. It's a lot more fun to see some people in an underdog position. So maybe if this was the opposite and Tori was on top, maybe I would be feeling not the same. But I've enjoyed her this season, and it's only intensified my love for her. So I'm happy that she's still around and she made it through this episode tonight. One thing before we actually get into this episode, that you brought up that we should just touch on here, that it is 5 years since the passing of DM Brown, as of yesterday, I believe, recording this on Saturday, and this past yesterday, Friday, was the 5 year anniversary of her passing. And did you have anything specific that we wanted to just mention here? Just of course, a very sad time if people are new fans of the show. DM was on a lot of a bunch of seasons back in like the late teens, early 20s of the challenge. Very big legacy on this show, just between her own storylines and then everything with CT. There was a lot to talk about with DM and just a tragic passing when she lost her battle with cancer 5 years ago. And very, very touched by all of the love I saw on social media from all of like her past competitors, challengers, and everybody that was just writing nice things about her.
Yeah, DM was always for a very, I mean, as long as she was on the show and still to this day, always one of, if not, my all-time favorite, just constantly positive, like really just it was funny because and never boring either though, because there's some people who it's okay, you're not getting involved in the drama, but like what are you bringing me? And like DM was always really, I would say, one of the most impactful members of the challenge, because I don't know that we get modern CT if not for DM. And like that's not to say that her storyline on her own was not obviously like impactful, but you can tell like from the fact that she, I mean, as recently, I think there was Vendetta she was coming up. I'm sure she's going to come up again in the future, especially with this challenge filming right around, the 5th year anniversary of her passing. I just can't imagine that she doesn't continue to have like an impact moving forward. Like one of the favorite stories that I had heard that I don't know if most people know is I think that she actually on her first season came in like saying she was 25 or something like that when she was actually like 27 or 28, and it said like, you know what, cancer took a couple years of my life, like I'm taking them back. And so I don't know if she was actually too old to come on the show in the first place and lied her way into getting in, but just like a funny thing that I had heard, definitely one of the more bright spots in challenge history.
Yeah, she always had the most positive spirit. Somebody like that who has every reason in the world to be angry and pissed off at the world and just upset. She took every opportunity that she had from this show. And I'm coming at this, of course, from the perspective of I didn't watch any of her seasons as they were airing live. All of the watching of all of the DM that I consumed, all of her challenges that I've seen over the course of my career watching the show have been in the past couple of years. But I did, of course, I took such a big liking to her while she was on. And to find out, I think, I don't remember the timeline of when I found out, if I found out like before I started watching or whatever it was, but just I definitely took a deep dive into as much as I could have found, just videos of her and interviews and this and that, just because she was, like you said, such a bright light on the show. She always had such a positive energy. Totally with you about the whole CT thing. I mean, it was after the season that she had to leave. Was that Battle of the Exes 2, 3? Was
I
there a third?
believe it was 3, but don't quote me on
Yeah,
it.
the last Battle of the X's season that her and CT were competing together, medical reasons took them out of the game, and it was only a couple of months later that DM ended up passing away, and then CT took a little bit of a break. He was obviously dealing with this because they'd been dating for so long, and he was of course very close with her family. And then eventually CT decides, all right, I'm going to come back to the show, doing it for her, for me. She wouldn't have wanted me to stop just because of her. She would have wanted me to keep going. So that is ultimately what brought him back to the show. And of course, we've been kind of ragging on CT a lot for the past season or two about how is this guy still here? Like, what is he doing? It's a fun to touch on the dad bod story every once in a while, but do we really need it every season? But I mean, hey, look, he's still hanging in this season. We'll see what happens next week. It sounds like there's a purge coming up, and I think there's a lot of people worried about that for him. But happy to see, he is still around in the challenge world and, keeping her legacy going strong.
Yeah, and even beyond her challenge legacy, obviously outside of the show, she started the website MedGift, which helps a lot of other people who are going through similar medical emergencies. And I know a lot of the challenge contestants, or an alumni to this day, like have fundraisers and stuff for that. So if people want to check that out, that is available online. Also, still running strong to this day.
Yes, Champs versus Stars, I want to say, like a couple of people, whether it was like one person a season or whatever, there was definitely charities that were donated. I don't know if it was that specifically, but people were playing for charities to honor DM's legacy. So it was always nice to see that, and just like you said, keep her name involved in the show as long as possible. So that's that on DM. Very sad that took place a couple years ago, and just glad that we're able to still remember her and talk about her. But let's get no fun way to transition, but let's get into this week's episode of The Challenge, where we had like we said, pretty consistent with the gameplay. Not a whole lot is changing there, but we still need to get rid of some of these people. The final is coming up in a couple of weeks. It's mid-November at this point. You got to imagine what, like 4 or 5 more episodes before the season's done. I don't know if we got the exact number of episodes this season was going to have, but also, I mean, the final has to be coming up sooner because I'm just thinking out loud here. The reunion, of course, is going to have to air, whether that's 1 or 2 parts. They usually wrap this up before Christmas, so we're probably getting a lot closer than it actually feels like to the final here. So, we'll see how this all plays out. But do you have any? Are we? Do we know when the final is like coming up? They haven't said or anything like that, have they?
No, I mean, unless you're going off of Rogan, what Rogan says is gospel, with him saying like, oh, there's like one more elimination for each gender. But obviously we know there's the purge coming up next week, and I would imagine the male elimination
Yeah, I think
week. I
so.
don't know if that's going to be pushed into the next episode, but it's funny you say 1 or 2 part reunion. I would put the over under at 2.5. We're getting 3, we're getting 4, who knows? So they're going to stretch it out. The final's probably going to be 2 weeks, so I would assume we have at least one more like in season episode, and if not more, and then probably 2 for the final and 2 or 3. I would say 2 for the reunion.
Right. Last season's final was 2 parts for, I want to say. I think the beginning, like the first hour that we saw, was when they got rid of like half of the people that made it to the final. It was like Georgia and Maddie went out, and whoever else like didn't make it to the second part. Am I remembering that correctly? And then part two was when we had like the final like 5 or 6, and then Kara dropped out, and then Hunter and all that stuff before they ended up with the final four.
Yeah, part of me can't remember if it was aired in the same week, actually,
Yeah,
something like
I
that,
don't
but it
know.
definitely was split up into 2 parts. So, because I don't remember, agonizing over the course of the week over who was going to win, but I could be wrong, definitely.
Yeah, and we still just have so many people here. So more have to go eventually. It sounds like we're going to lose 2 in a purge next week, which, get some of these people out of here. And then maybe, another male elimination that day. So we'll be down to whatever that number is, and then probably, get rid of some more people before the final comes up. But anyway, so, we're coming off of last week's episode where we did lose Theo. And, very sad to see him go, but this just was not going to be his season. He was outside of the numbers. You can only win so many eliminations before eventually you're going to come face to face with Jordan, who is just a veteran elimination. He's got everything pretty locked up when you're facing Jordan. So, any closing thoughts on Theo? You mentioned his interview that we got this week on Challenge
Yep.
Mania.
Yeah, I listened to his Challenge Mania interview, and I actually saw another one on, I think it might have been like People TV or something like that, where Theo actually talked about how, and I did not even think this was a possibility, but Theo was almost on season 35, apparently, and if it was up to him, he would be out there filming. But last second, he doesn't know if it was insurance-wise or what the case was. He was pulled for medical reasons, but good to hear that he's definitely still in the mix. Says that even though we thought he was going to lose full vision in the eye, he currently has just like blurred vision, which obviously not ideal for the rest of his life, but definitely a better prognosis than he was looking at. And he's not sure if with the help of glasses or maybe one more surgery, once the stitches come out, that he could eventually, potentially, regain vision using glasses, something like that, or if it's going to be blurred and he's willing to push through it.
Yeah, if anybody is forgetting about what happened to Theo, or if you just haven't followed along, if you've jumped in recently, Theo had a little accident a couple weeks back, or maybe like 2 months by now. It was after filming, so a while after filming, I believe. He just was at like some kind of event or party with a bunch of friends, and just a freak accident where he was opening a champagne bottle and took a cork to the eye, and it just. As you can imagine from just hearing that, did not end up going very well for him. But it sounds like he's somewhat on the road to recovery, as much as he can be. Obviously, he mentioned that he doesn't have, he didn't lose full sight in that eye. So, of course, great to hear. And definitely want to see him back. Sucks that medical wasn't going to clear him for this season, but I'm sure whether it's next season or the one after that, he will be back. So, again, hard to do much when you're going up against Jordan, but it is what it is, and we'll see him in the future, as TJ would say. We're going to get back to the house here, and we just last week saw the engagement of Tori and Jordan, which was very well received by every single person in the house. Not one person was upset about this, not one person was mad about this. They were all 100% happy for them, right?
No, I think you're forgetting about your fave, Cara Maria. She,
Oh, yeah.
awkwardly, I mean, easy to, not see her since she was hiding in the corner. She was, and I people are going to, and I, may criticize also, like, suck it up, deal with it. But if she was going to be this Debbie Downer on the week, then maybe better that she does not go and ruin the engagement party.
Yeah, I mean, she's gonna have that attitude. It's like a big elephant in the room that she's not there, that like there's the entire cast is outside celebrating except for one person, and like that's annoying because it does it like I said, it's the elephant in the room. You just can't ignore the fact that there's somebody missing regardless of whether you want them there or not. But I mean, I do agree. I mean, I'm sure they probably had more fun without her there. If she was going to act the way she's been acting. And yeah, I mean, you can say, she's my girl. I've mentioned many times how much I am still going to be a fan of Kara, but this is same thing with Cam. This is not a season where I'm having any kind of fun watching her. She's just in such a bad mood, and she's just no fun in any way, shape, or form. So, I saw like brief flashes like during the challenge when she was like cheering on all the rest of the girls, and she was like, "Oh yeah, like let's go, like let's show them that we can do it." I was like, "Oh, like maybe she is having like 2 seconds of fun a day, but that's only when she's competing. Anytime she has to interact with anybody else in the house, it's just no, it just doesn't go well." So Kara's gonna read her book over in the corner while Nani throws Jordan and Tori a fun little party in the backyard, and Zach gives a little speech here, which I just wanted to flag up because I didn't know that Zach was capable of producing nice words from inside of said. I just didn't know. I had no idea.
Yeah, was floored. I mean, my Zach dislike is well documented, but was a cute moment from Zach, like that he threw in the dig of like, "Oh, Tori is a bright spot because Jordan, you're a dick," which is true. We all know. So at least it was accurate and a rare likable moment from Zach for me.
Very rare. Yeah, he was like, "I'm not going to be a little bitch and start crying." It was like, well, I kind of already am tearing up a little bit. This kind of stuff always gets me on these shows, just whenever there's like a real human moment, and the fact that everybody was coming around celebrating these two. And he's not wrong about how Tori is like the other side, where Jordan is an asshole and Tori kind of keeps him balanced. And I mean, at this point, if Jordan didn't have Tori, hard to imagine that he would have made it like even this far into the season without seeing an elimination any earlier. I feel like just having her there, where she's able to connect with other people and kind of keep the couple balanced in the house, I feel like, is just so big for him at this point. I don't know. Maybe he would be playing a different kind of game if he didn't have Tori there, where he knows that he can just, at the end of the day, crawl back into bed with her. And, or I don't think they're even sleeping in the same room, so take that back. But, you know, he can just vent to her and just let all of his frustrations come out by talking to somebody he can confide in. I don't know. But that's, you know, that's where we're at with these two on these current seasons. Zach also, you know, unrelated to all of this, but we just see continued frustration with him and Josh with just the fact that, you know, they're not getting any chances. They're not going to be let in. And now that Jordan has jumped ship to the UK side, the UK side is getting stronger and stronger. If they weren't throwing challenges, they do have a very good chance at this point with these two very strong players added to their team of making a dent in this game and giving US a run for their money, where the US just keeps winning challenges. And Zach is acknowledging, we just keep giving away good players to them.
Yeah. I mean, I always say that really what it comes down to is who's the weakest player on your team more than how many strong players do you have. But getting rid of Jordan, who, like we've said, is potentially the greatest of all time, like, it's just, it's not going to be a good move. He's, you know, you don't have anyone that measures up to him at this point now. So a little worried about the U.S. chances moving forward for the first time this season.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to count them out, or hard to even,
yeah,
think
sure.
That, yeah, no, I mean, it's just hard to say that, like, the UK now has, like, even close to being like that's an even playing field, just because momentum, if nothing else, has just been so much on the US's side. They haven't even had to worry for 2 seconds in this game about losing any kind of challenge. But Jordan is just an overall top-notch competitor, and when it comes down to it, if Jordan is there for the final, I don't care who's on the US team, you're going to have a problem. You don't want to be facing that guy in a final. You know, you would much rather have him on your side to be helping your cause. And, you know, that's the bed that Kara and Paulie made this season, that they decided they weren't playing the game with Jordan and Tori. So, you know, Jordan had mentioned a couple times, I want nothing to do with putting money into their pocket, especially Cara Maria. And at this point, he had, you know, as of last week, he had no reason to stick with them. Of course, Tori had jumped ship already, and he followed right behind. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out with those two over on that team. Obviously, Tori goes into elimination, comes right back out of it. So, you know, hard to get rid of these two. Cara is very frustrated with that. But what are you going to do? They're good players, and you decided who you wanted to play with.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's not really an option at this point. The bet is made. But you get one more scene of Jordan talking about how Cara's not a competitor. I wouldn't even want to run a final with her. Lucky for him, he's not going to have to, unless, you know, randomly she decides to switch teams at this point. But seeming like they're going to end up on opposite sides. But, you know, Jordan's got to get that one last dig in, which, I mean, I guess she doesn't show up. She leaves herself open to it.
Right. So before we get to the challenge, we have a little bit of setup, you know, before we actually see the challenge play out of what's going to be coming in this episode. And we have a little bit of Cam and Leroy talking about how, you know, there's still some tension with Nani. Nani is obviously been disappointed all season that Leroy will not, you know, stand up for her, work with her. Leroy found his spot where he feels like he's making it to the final, you know, easy ride there. And Cam is the one who pulled him into that. So, you know, obviously some tension between Cam and Nani. And we also have a little bit of Dee is just having a hard time, as, you know, she's getting ready for the final stretch of the game. And who does she confide in? Of course, the one person that she's been with all season, that's Rogan. And, you know, he's encouraging her, he's motivating her, and she's just so happy that he's there. So keep all of that in mind as, you know, we're going to get into this week's challenge. That's all going to come up in a very big way later. Any thoughts about this challenge this week? It was called Escape to Freedom. It was a cool looking challenge, and I just can't imagine that anybody was more upset about this being thrown this week than production. They put together such a nice, you know, such a fun challenge. They have all of this, you know, the camera people and the boat operators and everybody, boat operators, that's probably not what you call that person. everybody who's just setting everything up here. And then just one guy decides that the challenge is getting thrown. And then what even mattered?
Yeah, it's funny because I don't know what could have been done to improve this challenge exactly, but it looks like really cool from the setup, and then you get the defender on there, which, okay, even better, but then the defender pretty much is, you know, universally going to get pulled off on the first round, and then just seemingly, as long as you can land on the platform, Tori, you are going to make it to the end. So it doesn't seem as difficult as you might have thought at first. It's funny because when you're zoomed in on the boat and like the player's running along, it's like, wow, like they're going fast. And then you get like a shot where it's like the team's watching, I think maybe like CT go by. And it's like, oh no, they're moving as fast as like a tugboat. Like it is crawling. So it was interesting in that dynamic, but fun on the first watch. Second watch, I was like, all right, like I could skip past a couple parts on this.
Yeah, I'd say with like pretty much every challenge they do, all of this stuff is stuff that I wish I could do. Just, I mean, I definitely would try it for most of the things that they do, but I know that I wouldn't be anywhere near as good as the people that are actually athletic enough to be on the show. But one of like this particular challenge, I was like, the only part that I would not be good with, or just that I know that I wouldn't be good with, is jumping onto the boat and falling, jumping onto the platform the same way that Tori fell off. I was like, that's me. I just have no balance. And the second that I got onto that thing, I would be right into the water as well. Like if I could get my balance on there, it seems like a pretty straightforward get to the end and call it a day. But I don't know, not balance isn't my thing.
Yeah, it seemed like a few people tried to wait until the boat got a little closer to the tires so you had something to hang on to, which seemed like the better decision. But it's slippery, it's on water. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, and it was funny. I mean, you're saying that it did go kind of slow compared to what it seemed like it might have been going, but it's still like the amount of like raceway runway that they would have needed for this entire challenge to take place. Like it must have been like a long river that they were using, like from I don't know how many miles or whatever that they spanned for this for from start to finish. But it's like the challengers that aren't competing can only be in one spot, obviously. So it's I just imagine that they probably didn't see 99% of what happened. They saw CT like right in the middle, but then like once he drives past, they have no idea what's going on. They have no you cut to some reaction shot. But I'm just like, this is only fun for us because we get to see it. I want to see what the other people are saying as they watch, but I guess you can't have all of them watching every challenge. Like the one when they were in the big like box that was going side to side, they couldn't see anything happening in that one.
Yeah, really good point. Definitely did not think of that at all. Reaction shots are always fun, but something I did not think of when watching it.
No, I just like, it's. There's sometimes like especially with a moment like that where you can tell that CT's throwing it would have been cool to see people's like live reactions of like oh my God what's going on rather than luckily they got one of Cam like wait what's going on there I guess she saw off in the distance that CT was sitting down and didn't look like he was moving a whole lot but usually it makes for a lot better television on a Survivor jury where they can see somebody going into their bag and you get to see like an Eliza Orlin's reaction shot of like oh my God what's happening here but whatever I guess maybe I'm getting too nitpicky with the editing complaints here. So yeah, CT is going to end up throwing this challenge after all the women go, and most of them do pretty well, with the exception of Tori. But CT decides that this is not a challenge that he should be winning or his team should be winning for his own game. So the UK is going to throw it, courtesy of CT, and the US wins another challenge.
Yeah, what do you think about CT being so obvious in his throwing? I don't know. I feel like it would have been very easy for him to just like jump and slide off like Tori, and then with the seemingly ease that most other people are having in finishing this, as long as the US gets three people across, they only get two or whatever the case may be, then you don't have to expose yourself this hard.
I don't know. Maybe it's also the kind of thing where he, like, I don't know if he's trying to show every step of the way here that he is capable of doing it. If he just fell right off the way Tori did, you saw that, Rogan said in his confessional, well, that's not going to look so well when we get to the elimination that Tori just fell right off, even though she's supposed to be so strong. People probably already think of CT as weak. So, even if they know that he's throwing it, just to like have that image of like, oh, he fell the second he got on. I don't know if he's going for that or what, or if he was just going for a fun show of rock, paper, scissors. But yeah, it was it seemed like a long way to go just to end up not, not trying to win.
Yeah, that's a good point. I just didn't know like which one is ultimately going to raise your profile more. It seems like that's kind of got to be the concern for CT at this point, is just keeping your head down. But as long as he has the numbers on his side, I guess he really can't go wrong.
Yeah, so he says, there's no way that I need that for my own game that I should be winning this. And like I said, if I'm production at this point, I'm like, Fuck you, Chris. You suck. We just put this whole thing together and you just ruined it all. But what are you going to do? That's part of the game. And this is certainly not the first challenge that has been thrown in the history of this show or even in this season. So the US is going to, of course, have to pick a tribunal here. Luckily, we don't have a whole lot of Josh running in front and trying to stop things again this week. So it's just very easy. Cam is going to be the speaker and she brings in Leroy, which makes sense. And she brings in Nani, which is pretty important. Important here because by bringing somebody into the tribunal, it means that they are safe for the week. So obviously, Nani on a women's elimination day is not going to have to worry about going in, and she's still outside of the alliance, so that is pretty important at this stage.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised by this. I feel like you're kind of getting to the point where I don't know if they're trying to promote team unity, going into the final, but I feel like you want to have the option there to throw in Nani if you really are worried about getting rid of her towards the end. Seems like Leroy was never going to be down for that, but I'm not sure if it was even the right move at this point.
Yeah, and I just looked down at my notes, and before we get like, because I want to go into the Cam, Nani, and Leroy of it all, I wrote down Jordan's comment towards CT when they were on the boat coming back, and he was all pissed off, and he's like, "You guys suck, blah, blah, blah." It's like, all of us are out here training, and we put in work, and we're blah, 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 and you're just losing weight.
Yeah, wow,
Oof.
Jordan's a dick. Who knew?
Yeah.
But it's like you could say that. It's annoying because it's like a low blow, obviously. CT is like, just take the L, bro. But like Jordan so easily could have just been like, CT, like, I don't believe you can run a final. And like, you're saying the same thing without just like being a dick and taking a low blow. So it's just like, this is Jordan. And fans of Jordan, like, this is what you're a fan of. So that's it.
Yeah, no surprise that this is somebody who continues to have a hard time controlling his emotions and just kind of lashes out whenever he feels like it. So, like you said, that's Jordan. Also, one question that I had that I don't know if you picked up on or if you have a better answer for. When they had somebody from, the team that was running, so when the UK did their first, all of the women were starting to go onto the challenge, I think Cam was the one that was set up in the middle to try to block them from going. Once Cam got taken down by Jenny, I want to say, does that mean that she was done for the rest of the challenge? Like Cam didn't get to go back on?
Yep.
So what
Yeah,
was the
as soon
point
as
of that?
someone came down, like it was, yeah, it seems like, especially when you're, I don't know, I feel like the answer for this was realistically have everyone on the team run. So that means Nani would run and then average out the times or something like that. And if you lost, then you got it, the maximum time of 10 minutes or whatever the case may be, and reset the defender every time. Someone has to defend at least once per round. So then, like, Kara's matched up against like Kaylee, and you got Ashley versus D and stuff like that, so that it's really going to be more about the strength of your overall team than just like, can you jump onto the raft? And if you can, then you're going to make it to the end. So it was weird. It was definitely set up weird.
Yeah, this just wasn't like the kind of challenge where you can get around somebody by like if they're blocking your way and they sit down in the way that they were sitting down, you're not getting past them. Like you're not jumping over them, you're not pushing that. Like they were sitting down with their legs locked onto the platform. They just there was no way they were getting around. Obviously, the move that both teams ended up doing to pull the person blocking them into the water worked out well because they took them out of the way and then everybody else was able to go straight past. But just not very well thought through, I thought, in terms of challenge design. So maybe good on CT for stopping this challenge if it wasn't all the way thought through. But yeah, I want to get into all of the Cam, Leroy, and Nani stuff now that this is the tribunal. And, Nani seems pretty understanding right away, or maybe not like understanding overall, but just like she's telling us, listen, I know Cam and Leroy are going to vote together. He's going to do whatever she tells him to do. But this is still frustrating because I still want my friend. And, Cam. Starts as time goes on, over this season, and especially this episode, she's just getting very defensive. She is happy that her and Leroy are in a great spot now because they haven't been lately, and they're back together. And maybe things aren't going the best because they know that they're playing in dangerous water by getting romantically involved again. But she's just happy that they're talking, that they're friends again, and she's not happy that it seems like he's kind of being pulled away by Nani.
Yeah, the whole Cam, Nani, and Leroy drama is interesting because I really never thought we would get to the point where we saw Leroy and Nani at such odds, but this season has been wild. I mean, he's the complete middleman in between them, and there is, no working it out.
Right. So, I mean, Leroy has said a couple times, he, and obviously it's the reason why he joined this alliance in the first place. He sees a path to the final, and getting to the final in the first place is like the biggest obstacle. The last, was it the last time that we saw Leroy where, was it Vendettas that
No, he
caught?
was on last season, but he was with
Okay,
Shailene.
you're right. Was the last time that we actually saw Leroy? I'm just thinking back to, I think it was Vendettas when, Kara, I want to say, made the decision at like the last second, like right before the final, that Leroy had to go into an extra elimination, and it was against Brad, and then Leroy took out Brad. Am I remembering this all correctly? Or
Yeah,
Kyle,
that's
or
exactly. Yeah, because she wouldn't throw Kyle in.
she wouldn't throw Kyle in, so it was like Leroy, Brad, and Kyle. This is just what Colin was talking about, making fun of us for the past couple of days that we remember all these things about seasons that there's no chance he remembered any of this. But yeah, it sticks in my head. I don't know what to tell you. So Leroy was very close to the end, and you know, even being right there at the final, there's still that chance that you could end up not making it. So he sees the path this season is there. He can very easily get to the final if he sticks the course with this alliance and goes all the way down to the end. But along the way, they're probably not going to end up with Nani there. And she's been upset about this. But what, you know, he is on his 1100th season of the show and he wants to get a win. As much as he wants to get it, I'm sure all of Leroy's fans want him to get it. I've given up on that dream for a while now. I don't think it's ever going to happen. But you know, this is definitely his closest opportunity. If it's ever going to happen, it will be this season. So don't I definitely don't blame him for the path that he's chosen. It's just, you know, it's like you said, it's tough to watch this friendship kind of deteriorate over the game.
Yeah, and Nani says like basically Leroy never would have flipped. He only flipped for Cam, and like that was it. And I think kind of brushing aside like the strategic decision like in it, which I'm wondering, first of all, was it just for Cam? I don't think so. But then also like if Cam was not there, would he have not made, felt comfortable enough in making this flip? And that's where I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, and I don't know. He's just so confident, not only that like he's gonna make it there, but the fact that he's like, no, we're gonna win. Like he's trying to pump up his team later on when they're out all together. He's you know talking to who is it? Nani was across the table and Zach maybe. He was just like, no, we're winning this season. Like just get it through your heads. Like we are winning this season, which is funny because like Jordan was sitting right next to them and he was like hammering home this point. Like we are winning. There's no way around it. So. You know, he's already convinced himself that the check is in his hand. So that's just the perspective he's coming at it from. And like you said, you know, I don't know if it would have been the same if Cam wasn't there. Obviously, they've had feelings for each other for a while. So that's what it is. But I mean, what do you make of, like, because you said that you're rooting for Cam still so much. And what I had been talking about earlier is just, what do you make of this scene of her when they're at the bar, same bar, of course. We really need to come up with a name for it. Maybe we'll come up with that between now and next week of like a name for this bar, because I don't think we know what the actual name is, but I don't want to keep calling it the bar. I want to have a name for it. So they're at the bar, and Cam pulls Leroy aside, and she's just not happy with the fact that he's spending so much time talking to her. He thinks he might be saying way too much. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, not a good look for Colin's girl Cam, but it's like it's the same stuff that like last week Polly was saying like Kara will do whatever I say, and not even saying like oh I trust her or I trust Leroy. It's just like I'm the mastermind here. They don't have any say. I get to make the decision, which is not a great look on, Polly or Cam, but this week we're talking about Cam. So you just wish that it was more of a partnership, whereas it seems. And I mean, like you said, Cam has run this season start to front. It says, at least, it appears to me. So if, with good reason, she is confident, but you just wish that, I mean, Leroy even says later, like, I just wish I had a voice. Why don't I get any say in what happens here?
And he tries, like he's you know, when they're at the nominations later on, and you know, the team UK picks out Tori, that Tori's going in, and Leroy looks at the two of them, and he's like, "All right, so we're voting together. We have to vote together." And of course, like if you're looking at this from an outsider's perspective, you're like, "Why on earth would Nani have to vote with you guys? Like, what? How does that make any sense to you?" And he's just like, "No." Like he's trying to have control over the situation, and I guess just show that he's still, you know, Team US strong, whatever it is. But Nani's like, "Yeah, I don't know about that. And I'm like, thank you, Nani. Like, I'm glad you're, you know, not just just listening to what they're telling you you have to do. You have no reason to go with what they're saying. You know, it's nice of them to save you and to put you into the tribunal just so that you can. And of course, Cam's not going to let her forget that or let Leroy forget that, you know, she saved Nani this week, whatever. But, you know, it's just it's such a mess between all three of them.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of the deliberation, the speed in which they decided on Tori, I legitimately got to the end of the episode. I don't know if I blinked. I don't know if I, like, ran to the bathroom, what I did. But I, like, look at they're about to throw someone in the elimination. I was like, did they not have a deliberation? Are they trying to hide something from us? Like, completely forgot it happened. It was so fast. But, I mean, Cam is complaining, like, when Nani comes into the room later, which, I mean, she struts in. It's an iconic, like, mm-hmm. scene. For like, I don't know why, but it stood out immediately. She's like, red dress, purse over her bag, cup of noodles in hand. She's like, what's happening? So, like, I mean, having Nani on the season was worth it just for that scene. But, I mean, you get Cam, who's like, you're going to confront him in front of a group of people. When, like, Cam, I know that you didn't say what you wanted to say in front of the group of people, but you walked up to Leroy, like, at the table with people who are his friends, and as much as, like, we might not love all of the people at that table, like, Leroy has legitimate relationships with people at this table, and there's no reason he can't talk to them, and you say, like, me, you, now, come over, like, you know, basically snapping your fingers, and you're saying, like, oh, you're gonna come and confront Leroy in front of all these people? Like, I wouldn't do that. You basically did do that, and I know you didn't say what you wanted to say, but you completely demanded that he come over. Like, no, not in 5 minutes, like, now. I need you now.
Yeah, she's like, this is important. No, this is really important. This is urgent. You need to come with me now. Like, there was no option. Like, he had to get up from the table. And then, you know, they go over and start talking, and Cam's like, do I need to talk to Nani and tell her that she should be grateful? Do I need to have that conversation with her? Because I will. Like, she's like, don't you forget. Don't let her forget. Like, she should be grateful that she's safe this week. And blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, ugh. Like, this is not the Cam that I like to root for.
Yeah, not a great look. It's kind of, I mean, with most of these people, like, everyone, you know, is a real person with multiple sides to their personalities, mm-hmm. and this is just not one of the fun ones for Cam. There are many yeah. other fun sides, and, like, I like that she is, you know, good at challenges and strong, and she's funny, and she's, you know, one of the best strategists on the show, and unfortunately, I kind of have to take this, you know, a little bit of the big-headedness that comes along with all of those other positive qualities.
For sure. So, yeah, Nani, like you said, a very iconic entrance into the room. It just felt like I was, like, at somebody's college dorm, and everybody just got back from, like, a night out, and, like, every, you know, literally any college student just grabs some noodles on the way in, you know, heats it up, brings it over, and then everybody's hanging out in, like, the common area, and just, of course, a fight breaks out based on whatever happened that night. So Nani's, you know, she comes in and, you know, does not hold back on Cam, on Ashley, on Kara, just like, you guys are not working with me. Nobody, not a single one of you has my back. So I don't know what you guys are saying, but things are being said, and for some reason, nobody wants to say it to my face. So Cam, who is, you know, known for the fact that she's not afraid of anybody, she will, you know, confront anybody head on. She does get out of bed here and stand up to Nani face to face, and she doesn't back down in any way like somebody like Kara probably would have for the most part, I would say. But then Cam gets out of bed, and she's just, it's the bad look continues. She's like stuttering over every word. She's just like, I just, you know, he was talking to, and I just didn't like the things he was saying, and I just saw him and you, and I was just like, oh, you probably should just stop here. This isn't getting any better.
Yeah, I mean, something that I know, we know they're at a bar, and we know that, like, they're on the challenge, so they're drinking, but, like, I think we forget that these people are drunk. Like, yeah, they're all very drunk, and, like, none of them are going to have their best looks going on at the moment, and it's very obvious. I mean, no one is strutting into a room in a red dress with a cup of noodles if they're not drunk, so, like, the context is there, we know, but...
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I think Cam, like, I don't know what you wanted, because Nani is, like, standing over her, so, like, it's not like Cam is, like, sit back and take it, but yeah. At the same time, like, Nani comes in escalating, and then Cam stands up escalating, and then, like, there's really, what was going to happen? Like, this was always going to be the case as soon as Nani, like, chose to confront it, which I think is the right move, but probably just not the right time while they're all drunk.
Yeah, and Nani basically is telling us, you know, in confessional, I, you know, this hasn't been the best season for her and Leroy, but she still loves him. You know, she still wants to see what's best for him. And she thinks that there's a possibility that Cam is only back in this relationship, this, you know, intense friendship, whatever you want to call, whatever their dynamic is at the moment, Nani's concerned that this is only happening because Cam wants Leroy as a number in her game, and she's like, he deserves so much better than that. And you know, hard to say for sure what Cam's true intentions are. Obviously, you know, you can tell that there's feelings between the two of them, and that's not something that's new to this season. It's not like she just created this relationship this season just for a number. It's just, you know, it's worked out that I guess they've rekindled whatever they had, and you know, they're back on the same side, and she brought him in. So, you know, it's working out for both of them. And of course, Cam, after all this, is going to go apologize to Leroy. And the second that Cam crawls back into her bed, it takes 2 seconds for Leroy to be like, nope, no problem. It's fine. We're good. If you're going to, you know, cuddle me and give me kisses. So Leroy, a very easy man to please.
Yeah, it's like, nope, don't even try it. Okay, we're fine. We're good.
Yeah,
We're definitely set.
literally, like, he was mad at Cam as long as that deliberation took place, about 10 seconds apiece. Which it's funny, you said that you didn't even notice that the deliberation happened, whatever. You watched the rewatch on 2x speed, and the fact that it took literally 10 seconds is what Cam said, in the first place. Like, you could have blinked and not seen it happen. Like, you like close your eyes for 2 seconds, and then next thing you know, Tori's sitting in front of them, pleading her case.
Yeah, definitely was a blindside when they got to the elimination. And I was like, wait, but who else is going in? Like, I was very confused. I was like, maybe they decided to throw D in themselves. And it was an interesting way to watch the episode, I'll say for the least.
Yes. So we do, of course, end up having that Tori is the one that goes in here. But the whole reason that this, you know, was coming up earlier on in the episode, that CT was throwing it, a lot of the strategy that was taking place between the guys in the big alliance on the UK side, namely Joss, Rogan, and Paulie, they had this plan that maybe we need to cut D at this time. Rogan starts to tell us about how, you know, I really care for her, which no one's believing at this point. But he's like, he's focused on getting to the final. He wants to win the money for himself and his best friend Joss, and anybody getting in the way of that is not good for him, which is pretty much a load of BS because they left Kaylee in the game for how long now? And Kaylee is 10 times less likely to do well in a final, in my opinion, than D ever will be. You know, of course, D, it sucked for her because she ended up having that situation where she passed out after running a couple laps around the pool, got taken to the hospital for an overnight kind of thing. And, you know, that never is a good sign to the rest of your team that you're in correct in the good physical shape to end up going to a final. But nevertheless, like, you know, he should still have seen that D has been a pretty good performer for the most part this season. You know, she's definitely nowhere near the worst. And I would say that, like I said, Kaylee is definitely the worst pick there. You know, if you've had this relationship with D all season and there's two semi-weak options to bring into a final with you, how are you not targeting Kaylee? I guess, like, to also bring it back a little bit, I've been watching X on the Beach UK, and I didn't even realize that these three were on a season together. Oh no, not three. It was Kaylee, Rogan, and Melissa were on the season together. Joss was on season one of that show, which was a very strange to see them all in like that other format, just because that show is like not the challenge. It's just like 100% like them sleeping with each other every other second of the day. You've watched that, right? Or have you?
No, I've never watched
No.
the UK version. It's on the list, but the US version has kind of tainted me a little bit,
Okay.
so.
Yeah, it's like it's very quick watches. It's 8 episodes each for most of the seasons. I think some of them have 10 episodes. And I definitely bumped up the speed a little bit because, you know, X on the Beach is not a show I've ever been too taken with. But I wanted to see some of these people that we've been watching on the challenge for a while. I wanted to see kind of like their origin story. And it was just very interesting to see that Rogan was like the star almost of like his first season. I don't know if he was the star, but he was definitely like a main player and all that. And Kaylee as well. So, and Melissa, who we're going to see back on next season. But anyway, to bring it back to this season, thoughts on Rogan targeting D here?
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, you get Rogan, like Rogan, who was purged in the first episode, Rogan, who could not run up a mountain, Rogan, who, you know, has proven not to be the best competitor on another season, versus like D, when the last time we saw D running any type of endurance challenge was probably during that tire challenge during Dirty 30, when it was like the teams running back and grabbing the tires back and forth and back and forth. And I believe they placed top three, or at least did like very well, or, you know, D seems to have some type of endurance, has been performing well, but she passed out once running around the pool, and but you know, seemingly from dehydration, and Rogan has decided that nope, gotta cut her, done. And I know that it's weird. You can't like really know like even watching X on the Beach or watching the challenge, you don't know their relationships that well, but having years history with Kaylee, like that is going to be harder to cut.
Yeah, I mean, and that's like I think I mentioned it to you or whoever when I was watching that season. It's just like, oh, now I get why these guys are so close. Like they were on the first and second season of that show. Obviously, Joss and Rogan have become like best friends over time. So just having that like original cast kind of connection, it's the kind of thing where like Paulie and Devon came into coming into the challenge together. Everyone was like, oh, they hated each other. There's that infamous jury house scene where they didn't even like each other. But just coming from the same season or like the same era of the show usually keeps you bonded together pretty well, and I think it's obviously held up well for the three of them, the UK guys, but you know, not doing so well with Paulie and Josh this season. Not that they were on the same season, but you know, they came in together, the Big Brother crew, and you know, things have been kind of falling apart. But for the other ones, the people who have been able to stick together, it's been working out well. But of course, that's not really benefiting D in any way here. You know, Rogan is just concerned that she's not going to do well, and I don't know, like you said, Rogan is the guy who you know, has not proved himself in any way on this show. So the fact that he's, you know, this is coming out of his mouth, I don't think D can run a final. Like, when's the last time we saw you successful in any kind of running endurance or anything? I don't know where he gets off saying anything like that. But, you know, he's got his friends, he's got Joss and Paulie who are backing him up, and they're like, all right, if that's good with you, then, you know, we'll work it out.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad too. Like, even the way that he went about this. So, like, earlier in the episode, as we said, like, he's saying, like, I'm not going to drag, like, this girl that I've been talking to all, like, for this season to the end and then not win my best friend any money. Like, maybe phrase it, like, the way you phrased it, like, is that you are picking Joss over D, which, like, again, you have years history, so I understand that. But maybe say that, like, I can't risk my own chances at a final 4D. Like that, I feel like almost sounds better, even though like it is a more selfish act. Like I understand that a little more, I guess. And then the way that once this actually blows up and Rogan is like, okay, CT, could you tell her? I'm like, ooh, that was a bad, bad, bad decision.
Yeah. And I mean, it's at a certain point also kind of like hard to expect that just because these two have been together all season long, you know, I don't think Rogan has ever made it a point where he's been like, I'm going to marry this girl or anything like that. Like, love is in the air from Jordan and Tori, but I don't think that, you know, we've seen anything like that from Rogan and D where it's like they really have fallen hard for each other. Obviously, it's, you know, we've seen that, I think, from D. Rogan has kind of touched on how he strongly feels for her, whatever, but it's just, you know, it's never been in a believable way, I would say. Like, I've never really bought into it as much as, you know, some of the other couples.
Yeah, I would say I did not. I would say probably until like Cam and Leroy popped up, this was like the one showmance that I was enjoying. We did get the moment where D was feeling insecure and Rogan was talking to her, like, how do you believe them? Like, D, I really like hanging out with
Right,
you. So, like, that did get me. Like, that was cute. And so, like, I started to believe this. And, like, it could it ultimately be true still? Like, yeah, but I'm much less putting any stock into this relationship after this week.
yeah. And I mean, you know, if you follow them on any kind of social media or anything like that, you know, this is all speculation. I don't know anything for sure about like what their status is as a couple coming out of this season, but I don't remember seeing a whole lot before they went to film 35 of them like together. And of course, they don't live anywhere near each other. They're in completely different countries, so there's that as well. But I don't know. I mean, it's not like this would have been the first cross continental, or is there a word for cross
No, that
country is like
works.
track. Whatever.
I'll take your word for it.
Kara and Kyle obviously made it work for like a couple months before things went south over there. But I don't know. I guess to be seen about how that ends up playing out. But I mean, if you take a look at how it's playing out right now, it doesn't look like it's going so well. D is obviously very upset when she finds this out because I don't know why I keep going to call him Chris, but I almost said Chris. CT goes and runs to D and tells her, he says he wants to tell her front door of what's going on here. And D is immediately going to storm off, find Rogan, and say, what the fuck? Like, are you kidding me? And Rogan is like, oh no, I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to talk to you. And she's like, all right, so let's go talk. And it just doesn't go well.
Yeah, a couple things in there. Well, first, I noticed that Rogan is actually calling CT Chris, which, like, his friends
Maybe
of
that's where I'm
15
getting it.
years don't call him that. So it's really interesting. Like, I know that Rogan thinks he is the new CT, but I don't know how he's so close with him all of a sudden that he's calling him Chris. Because, you know, years ago, CT would have ripped someone's head off if you tried to call him Chris. So interesting there. But like we flagged up, getting CT, they have the talk right before CT walks over to D. And Rogan is like, yeah, we should tell her. Okay, you go do it. Like, why is CT going to do this? It fully, she's going to confront you in 30 seconds. Like, I know that you don't want to have the big blow up in front of everyone, but pull her aside. Don't have CT go do it in front of this big group. Like, you already made the move. So, I'm not even getting too far ahead. Like, where he says, like, oh, I couldn't have the heart to go through with this. Like, you make that move. Like, it's already out there. You've like exposed it to too many people. She's found out. You've had to have this talk with her. Like, you do it. The damage is done. But Rogan, he has the talk with her, and I didn't want this to be an argument. Like, what did you think this was going to be? Like, you went about this so much worse, and it's going to blow up 10 times versus if you had had not minor, but smaller argument with her one-on-one to start.
Yeah, and it's just so hard to see because obviously, she was very invested in this. We see only, what, a half hour ago at the beginning of the episode that she's just loving having Rogan there to motivate her, to help her through this last part of the show. And just in general, she's really grown, her feelings have grown for him as time has gone on. So this is just going to be a huge slap in the face. It almost feels like he's announcing to other people that he's breaking up with her before he even says anything to her, in a way. Because, I mean, this wasn't about the relationship, but he's pretty much saying, I'm willing to break up with her in the game. Like, he's like, I want to get rid of her. It's not just like, I want to throw you in so you can prove yourself or anything. He's saying, I want to potentially get rid of you so that you don't stand in the way of me getting to a final and winning this game. From a game perspective, whatever your feelings are regarding Rogan's thoughts about this being a good game move, like he just spent the past month and a half, whatever the time frame is, with this person, getting to know her and developing a relationship with her, just to say, you know what, that's really not that important. I need to win the game. So, very crushing for her here, and she's literally having like a panic attack over on the deck where she's got Ninja and Ashley trying to comfort her. And I mean, what can they really say at this point? It's nice to have your friends there in a moment like this. And Ninja and D have had like some rocky spots this season. I feel like we haven't seen Ninja a whole lot at all lately, which is not complaining at all. That's been good. It's been nice and quiet from her, but she's gonna pop in here with Ashley to try to make D feel any better. But like I said, what can you do?
Yeah, I mean, Ninja, what can she do? Like, apparently not a great job. It's like Ashley comes in and it seemingly is much, much more effective. Like, she just has that attitude where, and I don't know if it's like Ninja is being like the shoulder to cry on, whereas Ashley is being the like, no, screw him, and like that ultimately helps more. But I felt so bad for D here, like, because it's that natural instinct to like, no, it wasn't him, like I was stupid for like it was me, it was my fault, I did this, where like, no, like this was normal. Like, I know you can't trust people on these type of shows, but when you're coming back season after season, like you do get some familiarity, you do start trusting people, and it sucks. It really, really sucks to watch.
Yeah, I mean, luckily for D, this is not going to end up going in the way where it could have been, where, as soon as I guess she reacts like this, I don't know if that's exactly when, but Rogan does have a change of heart and they decide that they're not going to go through with this plan, which the way he frames it to us is he's like, I decided that I'm not doing this. And I'm like, okay, well, you have no power right now. Obviously, his alliance is in power, but it's like Cam, Leroy, and Nani are about to be the ones who vote on who the other person going into this elimination is. So relax, bud. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves here. But yeah, so D ultimately is not going to be the one that goes into elimination. But as CT says towards the very end of the episode, this isn't done. This is not over with. I'm sure next week this will be present as it was this week, and that'll continue to be something that we watch play out, whether they can work this out or if Rogan is just going to be like, you know what, at this point, she's upset with me and I still feel like she's going to hold us back in a final, so let's make it happen. We're getting really close, and if both of them survive this purge, it's a guy's elimination. So I mean, what even are we at this point with like who's the next guy that's gonna go in? I guess a lot of it does depend on the purge. If like a Josh or CT ends up getting purged, they're probably already gonna be, well, they're already gonna be gone, so they wouldn't be the favorites to go out in the elimination. But I don't know, we're down to a pretty competitive field of guys, without those two included.
Yeah, a couple things there. So you get Cam, like immediately when the plan is brought to Cam, she's like, if they wanted to throw in D, they could have done it. Why do I have to do their dirty work? Like, and it's true at a certain,
Yeah.
like, she's going to find out that you screwed her over. Like, whether it's during, this cycle, the next cycle, whatever the, or during the next season when the season airs, who knows? Like, it's going to come out. So, like, just pull the trigger. And he decides not to, which, like, okay, you told Dee that you're willing to slice her throat and then you didn't do it. This is bad. Like, you make the move or you don't. Like, if you thought it was that important, you do it. But unfortunately, like, unfortunately for him at least, he decides not to go through with it. Something that does bring a lot of context to this now, though, which is something that I told you I had before. It was posted on Reddit. Apparently one of, like, the Instagram accounts posted this, that while they were in the house, I guess right before this week or recently, they had, I don't know if it was all of the girls or the women on the UK team, had, like, a women's training day in the gym, and Dee just could not keep up with anyone on the team and was just, like, very upset, like, could not they were swimming laps, she was having a really hard time, couldn't do it, and she acknowledged that, and then she was telling people that, oh, actually, like, I'm allegedly, she's rich, she comes from money, and I don't need this money. So that does give quite a bit of context to what ultimately happens here, and maybe he didn't think it was going to be as big of a blow for her.
For sure, and I hadn't heard that, but I mean, it all kind of pieces things together, you know, especially if that got reported back, of course, to Rogan, and it just kind of made its way around the house that Dee is, she was looking the weakest of everybody that was around at this point, you know, I guess even compared to Kaylee. So yeah, that does make sense. What was I going to say? I might have lost my train of thought, but was there anything else that came up from Reddit?
No, that was the big thing. And ultimately, like I said, he could have gone about it, like, a completely different way. I don't know if you even want to, like, leave it in her hands of, like, do you feel up to running this final? Like, because here's what happened the other day. You said you don't need the money. Like, I'm nervous about it. Like, how do you feel? And, like, have that conversation. And I don't think there's any timeline in which she says, like, yeah, it's fine, eliminate me. But, like, I don't know what the right move is there. But at least, like, this gives a larger picture as to what was actually happening in the show.
Right. I think what I was going to say, one thing that we know about Dee is that just from her time before coming on the challenge, I think what she was kind of known for on her original shows is that she was somebody who always liked to go out and have a good time. You know, like we just mentioned earlier, everybody's always getting drunk on these shows all the time. You go out, everybody's drinking, having a good time, whatever. And Dee, I think it's been pretty clear that she's been just as involved as anybody else. You know, Nani looks like she's coming home. She's had a couple drinks or whatever, but some of these people, you know, it's not as strict as like Turbo was last season, where he was like, I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm not putting anything into my body that I shouldn't be. You know, he didn't want to drink at all. He didn't want to, you know, go out too late or anything like that, which obviously ended up in him getting the win. But you don't see people like Kara or Cam or Tori, like they don't seem like they are doing as much of that. I don't know if that's fair to say.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to judge because ultimately, like, people handle their alcohol different and they're not showing it, like, as much. So you're really never going to know. They could be drinking just as much and just not ultimately react the same way, not have as much drama come out of it. So they don't show that weak scene. It's really hard to know unless you hear about it, like, yeah, in interviews or something like that. But yeah, I can agree that from at least what we've seen on the show, it may appear that way.
Right. So just if you know, I think that if that footage was there, like if they were all drinking too much and, you know, things were happening because of it, we would have seen it at this point. So I don't know. I'm just kind of going with the assumption that they go a little bit lighter. Some of those like more veteran players, they know, especially this late in the game, you need to cool it a little bit. And I don't know if I've seen that from Dee. I feel like every time I see her, she is participating. She's having a good time just from those brief bar scenes that we see every week. And, you know, that's obviously going to slow you down a little bit physically at this point in the game. So I don't know if that's a factor. Could just be pure speculation, but you know, I do have a lot of confidence in Dee as an athlete. I think that she has proved herself at times in the past two seasons where I didn't expect that she was going to do well, and then she surprised us. So you know, I don't think that she's as weak as it seems like people are thinking about, or even, you know, that story about how she was the weakest girl working out. I don't know. I just think that she is capable of more. So I don't know. We'll see how that plays out, but. Well, anything else before we get to the elimination here?
No, just that one thing. I mean, it's pulled from Reddit, which is pulled from an Instagram. So I don't know the source. I don't know how trustworthy it is. It's people are commenting as if like this is very factual. So I thought it was interesting enough to at least bring up in the event that it's true. But I don't have ultimately like any verification. It's not as if it's coming from a cast member directly.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a ton of the information that we get that we end up bringing to these podcasts come from things that didn't happen on the show. So always good to get some of that, extra stuff into these recaps and just talk about it all. So we have this elimination here where Tori has already been selected to go in, and TJ is going to ask who's going in, and Jordan drops my beautiful fiance Tori, or I don't know if he said beautiful, but he's like, my fiance Tori is going to be the one going in today. And of course, we have to cut to Kara, who lets out the biggest sigh, and she just cannot put a smile on her face for 2 seconds. Anything small like that's going to trigger her. Tori's going to go in, and the tribunal, Cam, Leroy, and Nani have to decide on one other person to go against Tori, which ultimately we have a vote from Nani over to Kaylee, but the other two votes are going to be linked up as we suspected, and they are going to fall onto poor Jenny, who I really don't know. If she, one of the main takeaways that I've had from Jenny last week and this week, does she know there's an alliance in the house?
I mean, if you were going to tell me that anyone was completely unaware of what was happening in the house, Jenny would really be number one. It's just, I don't feel like I know Jenny at all. I don't know what she was really bringing this season, but apparently enough to get her brought back next season. I get that she's competitive, but I don't really understand, if you're a Jenny fan, like, please explain to me, like, what you find, like, anyone. I'm putting the call out there, but like, hopefully she brings more next season. She seems, a very nice person.
It's just every time that like they cut to her confessional, she's like, "What are they thinking? What are they putting me in? They're putting in Tori, the strongest person on our team." And it's like, yeah, no, obviously, like we all get that that's kind of stupid for them, but like, we know that there's an alliance, so we're not really having that reaction. And like most people at this point, like Nani herself is like not having that reaction at this point anymore. She's upset and she's frustrated, but she's not like, how could they be doing this? How could they be getting rid of Jordan and Tori and sending them? Like, people get it. And I just feel like Jenny doesn't get it. I feel like she has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the producers like, okay, now what would you say if, like, wow, pretend you're shocked about this.
I
Like, that
guess.
definitely goes on. But Jenny gives the most convincing,
Yeah,
most convincing
very easy to
confessional of
believe
that, at least.
that she doesn't actually know what's going on. So yeah, she's not too happy. She's going in here. I'm sure she saw it coming. She's not. I don't think she's actually, that stupid. I think she had to have known that it was happening. Cam is going to make a comment about how she's sending in somebody to earn her stripes, and Jenny is a little taken back by that because she already went into an elimination this season where she just completely murdered Nicole within 2 seconds, and Nicole, didn't even put up much of a fight in there. So that wasn't a very competitive elimination, but I guess Jenny feels like she already earned her stripes. It's nice to get that first elimination in for sure and show that you can come back out of it. But you probably, need to have a stronger competitor, to be facing. I don't know. I can understand why Cam would still have made a comment like that. Like, you still kind of need to prove yourself as a rookie. I don't know. I don't know. Am I off with that? Is Cam off?
I could see Cam saying this to CT. Like, I don't think it
True.
ultimately, like, I think Cam is really good at, Kara, get down there, earn your stripes. Like, show me what you're working with. Like, there's none of that would surprise me. So, ultimately, I feel like it's just something that she's going to say. Yeah, like, Theo went into four on his, second season now. I would think she would say the same to him. Like, come on, keep proving to me what you can do. So, I think it's just one more thing where Jenny is kind of oblivious to why she's going in at this
Yeah,
point.
and Cam, somebody who went into three eliminations on her first season, if I'm remembering correctly, and won all of them. So she's also coming at it from that kind of perspective where I know what I did. So you got to do something more than just beat Nicole if you want, some rookie respect. Especially, I don't know if they had any kind of feeling like Jenny was somebody who would end up coming back. So I'm sure that the people who have been there for a couple seasons like know what to look for in seeing other people that might come back. Like, if you look at somebody like a Zahida, or Big T, or somebody who went out early, like maybe you're not so locked in on the idea that you'll see them again, but maybe this
How
late in
dare
the
you?
game. I don't know. Well, obviously that's not the case because Big T is back next season, so good for her on that one. Proving anybody wrong who thought otherwise. But I don't know if they would have thought that Jenny would be a returnee. I don't know if I would have, expected it, but either way, she's going to be there. And also interesting, I've noticed that Jenny really has a strong liking for Tori. And so that's something to watch out for next season.
Yeah, I wonder how much it is like a strong liking for Tori, or it's just like a liking for anyone that is also on the outside of the alliance, because her and Georgia were seemingly really close. And basically, I think she, whether she knows it's an alliance or like why it's happening, she seems to be bonding with those outsiders.
Yeah, for obviously, that kind of thing is going to bring people together. I don't know. I just feel like along the way this season, I don't know if it's just recency or whatever, but it has seemed like she's been pretty invested in Tori. So they're going to be on next season together. We'll see if anything comes out of that. But tonight, or whatever night this is, we're going into a hall brawl, which was I correct in hearing that this is the first ever women's hall brawl?
Yeah, which is insane. I don't know how this is, like, it's been a men's elimination for like 30 seasons now, so I don't know how this is the first time it's coming up on a women's elimination day. Seems very deliberate, but glad that if we had gotten, D versus like Jenny or D versus Tori, would not have been as exciting. So I'm glad that
None.
it was these two specifically
Yeah,
for
I
the first.
mean, two of the strongest competitors left, if not like the two strong. I mean, obviously you still have on the US side you have people like Kara, Cam, and Ashley still in the game. But the women's field is pretty strong this season overall. So you probably could have subbed in any of them and it still would have been just as exciting. But these two in particular, hard to see them have to go against each other because, like we said, it has seemed like they've been bonding a little bit recently. But whatever, that's the challenge. You got to go against your friends sometimes. Only one person can come out, and that is going to be Miss Tori Deal, soon to be Mrs. Tori Wisely, I guess. All right, Carr, calm down. So Tori is the one that's going to come out of this. The first round that they go very close. I thought that Tori had that from the second they like let go of each other, but then they end up having to go to the tapes because it was very close, within 0.2 of a second. Tori gets the first point, and then the second round, not very close. You posted that picture of Plankton being run over by a giant crowd on Twitter, which was great. That's what happened to Jenny in round two. So not a super strong showing from somebody looking to earn their stripes, but that's where we're at here.
Part of me was left like super underwhelmed by Jenny, but like you said, it seemed so obvious that Tori was going to win that first round after how they initially locked up. And for Jenny to, it seemingly Tori, pulled her more towards her side of the hallway, and Jenny had to, pivot, turn around, and then still run. Jenny must be pretty fast in order for it to have been that
Yeah.
close. So, overall from the season, impressive from Jenny, even though she might have had a less impressive final elimination. We'll see her back, and I have full confidence that she is going to do pretty well, at least there.
Yeah, and my heart broke for her when she was talking about how like she said a couple times this episode, which might have, hinted to anybody that watches Edit, like this might be Jenny's last episode. She was talking like during the challenge itself, like, oh, I'm here for my family, I'm here for my friends, I don't want to let anybody down. And then she says it again at the elimination. She's talking about, I really, I just want to, I wish that they were here rooting me on because I don't have anybody here. Tori has Jordan, her fiance, up in the rafters, like rooting for her. Not a single person is specifically rooting for me. Even if they wanted Tori gone, so they wanted Jenny to win, nobody's out there like, yeah, go Jenny, like, we love you, we want to, see you succeed. Tough to hear that from her, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with her next season. Just because I don't think it's a team format. I don't know if that's the format has been
I
confirmed.
cannot imagine it would
No,
be.
we'll definitely hope that it's not. This season hasn't been the most fun, at least for me, with the team format. And like you said, I can't imagine that it is either. So, in an individual format, so much more room for game to be played, so much more room for Jenny to find somebody that's willing to work with her. So, excited to see what could be next for her.
Jenny, I don't have the full stat in front of me, but shockingly, first of all, the last remaining rookie on the season. So we will have no rookies going into the final for the first time since the original Battle of the Exes,
Nice of you
which,
to not call Rogan a rookie.
being generous, but ultimately, as the records will take it, this is the first since then, which is a very long stretch, and I'm pretty surprised by that, considering that some of these finals only had, a low number of people going into it. But impressive for her to, hold out that long as
Yeah.
the last remaining rookie.
You said Bloodlines was the last one?
No, since the original Battle of the Exes.
Well, that was like season 20 or something, or
Yeah,
21 or whatever
very
that
far.
was. What are we on now? 34. So yeah, it's been a while. So that's, yeah, very impressive on Jenny's end, but that just kind of I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of rookies on the season in the first place, but
That is also true.
definitely proves, something for Jenny that she was able to hang on this long. So we'll see how next season ends up going for her. But for this season, we're going to have Tori, who ends up coming out victorious here, rejoining Team UK. And, I don't know if anyone's too upset about that besides Kara at this point. Of course, they're trying to get rid of Jordan and Tori, but like Team UK is probably just happy that somebody strong is coming back to their team at this point. I mean, I don't know. Are they like, is Team UK like dying to get them out, or are they at this point they're just like, whatever, you're not in the alliance, it doesn't matter if you're Tori, if you're Jenny, or if you're Johnny Bananas walking back in the house.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild that like they threw this challenge, and I always say like I've said multiple times this episode, it is about who is the weakest member on your team, not about how many strong players you do have. So I don't think that losing Jenny is going to be like a death blow for them, but it is definitely not going to help them, Eddie. Like they threw the challenge ultimately to eliminate one of the two strongest women on their team. So interesting strategy from this team, at least.
It's I feel bad for you, almost feel bad for you, that just like in any other season, I feel like the pick of Jenny in the draft there would have been like the steal of the draft, kind of like that happened for you like once or twice last season or the season before, and she should have been able to like dominate on her own if she was in that kind of format. So I feel like I don't know, just the fact that she was tied down to Team UK and only ended up scoring 19 points there for you, kind of feels bad.
Yeah, it's wild. Absolutely hurts. I really thought she was going to pick up those 20 points in the final for me when Team UK ultimately pulls this one out. I'm maybe leaning towards at this point, but unfortunately, Jenny falls just short.
Yeah, so that's what we've got for this week. Was there anything else that we have not brought up yet before we get out of here?
No, there was just the preview for the Purge, which looks like
Yes.
it is going to be. Seemingly, at least it might have a puzzle included, but a swimming challenge in pairs?
Yeah, so I don't know if those pairs are going to be like, well, they have to be on the same team, right? Like, or could
You
they
would think
be?
so. I mean, Team UK only has 7 people,
Right, so people have
so
to be paired up.
is one person swimming alone? Is someone going twice and they have double the amount of chances to be eliminated? Is one person going to be immune? Like, I don't know how that's happening. And I mean, we had one swimming challenge this season where it really flagged up some bad swimmers. Ninja, Kara, D on other seasons has struggled with swimming but seemed to do fine here. It's been one of Leroy's, toughest things, even though he seemed to do well this season. We could lose a big name here.
I definitely could see that happening. Just looking around at like some of the quieter people in the season, you have people like I'm just looking at the board real quick. Josh, even like honestly, Pauly has been kind of quiet. I know that like it's been Pauly's story or Pauly's alliance, and everyone's playing Pauly's game, but I feel like we haven't heard from him much lately. Who else? Joss has been like completely invisible this season.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's totally possible we could lose a big player, but maybe just not a big character if they've been kind of quieter, just so that we can, kind of slide them right off the board before we get into the final coming up. But yeah, so looks like that's gonna be happening. Maybe they'll like pull names out of the bag. TJ seems to really like doing that this season for deciding like who's gonna sit out of the purge and automatically just go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know how that's gonna work. I mean, it is brutal. If you are someone, and like we worried about CT, like I know we had theorized, off the podcast that, okay, maybe we'll lose something like Kaylee and CT and that's gonna help the Team UK, or we'll lose Josh and someone else. But Josh has been a good swimmer. CT is usually a good swimmer. I know that you might worry about him in other endurance challenges, but at least swimming, he did well this season. So I am, it's absolutely brutal if you get paired up with, if Paulie gets paired up with like Ninja or something and he goes out that way, like that sucks so bad.
Does it suck? I feel like you won't be too upset about
I am not the Paulie hater that Colin is, so
it.
I would say that at least for him personally was, where I was speaking from and imagining myself in that position where you get dragged down either by chance or like from your name getting paired up with them randomly or by default, because, you know, like realistically, if they get to choose, like Kara and Polly are probably going to team up, and then, okay, you have like Zach and Nani or something like that, and Jordan and Tori, like you get like just by leftovers, like you two have to go together. And, you know, let's say Ashley is like a, you know, is a great swimmer and it's been highlighted over and over, but if Ninja's the only one left and Ninja can't even, you know, do a backstroke like straight, then you really could get screwed there.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, if they do get to pick their own pairs, I'm sure that it's kind of something that you like, I feel like it's something that you always keep in mind looking around, like who would you want to pair up with? Cause you never know when like a format is going to change or anything like that. You look around who you might want to run a final with. So I feel like they probably have that in their heads. So it'll be a little bit more fun if they don't get to choose, if it's some kind of like random selection, like TJ draws names out of a bag, because at this point, like whatever, just I'd love to see, especially that big alliance, just get shaken up. And if it's two players that go out that are not in the alliance, I don't even know if I'll be happy or sad, because happy because at least we'll finally get them out of the way and it'll just be the alliance left, kind of thing. Or if I think I really just want to see people from the alliance go home, because otherwise they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, as long as it's not Ashley, like I'm going to survive next week, but it could be really, really brutal. So I am definitely nervous.
Yeah, she definitely falls into that category of having a quieter edit, and terrifies me to think about it like that. But like you said, confidence in her swimming, I feel like we have plenty of that. So hopefully it's not her. So that's all we've got for this week. We will be back next week after a purge, finally getting some numbers off of the board in this season. Until then, follow us on social media. Follow me on Twitter at Matt Ligori. Follow Scally over at Brian_Scally. And we will talk to you guys next time.